If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
There's no place in the world I'd rather be on a Monday morning than right here. Doing guessing lines with Chrissy Andrews, my mishpocha. Tribute to the old Stardust radio show, the same ilk. Just like to say ilk every week. It's Gil Alexander. Jeffrey Parlay is here as well. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Thank you for joining us this morning. We guess the lines for week 13. Chrissy, you post them at the end of the show. And all the while, we look back at this past week.
Yes, sir. And I can't think of any place I'd rather be right now, too.
I'm serious, man. Yeah. I feel that way.
Yeah. If I was on a beach in Greece, I'd say, you know what? I wish I was doing the show with Gil.
Okay, easy. Mykonos. I'd rather be doing guessing lines at the South Pole.
Yeah, Mykonos not my favorite. I like some of the other islands better.
What's your favorite island? What's your go-to island?
Ooh. They're all so different. Probably my overall favorite is Corfu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think my dad would answer the same way.
Really?
I'd say Corfu, yeah.
Yeah. You could drop me on any island and I'd say, yeah, this is okay.
It's all right. All right. So from your perspective, how did it go this week?
Interesting week. Thursday was real good. Friday, not so good. Saturday was good. Yesterday, the football was great. We got waxed.
Oh, you did?
In the NBA and NHL. I mean, we still wound up with a good day. It was a good day. But, you know, I think when you become a bookmaker, you have to be a whiner. It's one of the prerequisites.
It's in your DNA.
And I'm looking at the figures. How the hell did we lose so much in hockey and basketball, for God's sake?
But we still had a good. Was it a favorites fest?
It was the public. You know, a lot of parlays and stuff. And like, I just got done talking to the crew. I said, hey, you just have to live with that. There's nothing you can do.
So we're going to go into all these games. Some fascinating outcomes yesterday, or at least fascinating ways they got to their outcome. We'll talk about all the NFL games on our way to. It's really trying to get a first. This is what this is all about. Trying to extract value for the first time during the week of the upcoming weekend's NFL games. Usually, if you're just new to this show, usually this exercise is oftentimes our best instinct, and that we tend to fool ourselves the rest of the week with little machinations in our head where we start to waver. But usually our first instincts are the right one. Certainly had Green Bay and the Rams pegged correctly last week. That's just an example of one of them. And we'll look at Survivor, Circus Survivor, which has gone from 40 to 30. We will review all of the details of how they got to 30 and what that means moving forward as the remaining 28 people, at least pending tonight's game, sort of get into hedge mode, one would imagine. We'll do all that. Jeff Parlay is here, though. We will start with Thursday Night Football, Week 13.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Always a pleasure to be here. And We start with two teams that played on Thanksgiving, Dallas at New Orleans.
Dallas at New Orleans. All right, so two teams, as you said, with the extra rest. Both teams coming off their Thanksgiving games. Far different. Dallas in that flag fest against the Raiders, which they lose. Oh, boy. Losing overtime on a very questionable PI being the key decider at the end. Dak was 32 of 47 for 375 in defeat. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Michael Gallup, remember, he had no CeeDee Lamb. He had no Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup was the leading receiver, 5 for 106. Cedric Wilson, 7 for 104. They gave up, though. The Cowboys did 509 total yards of offense to the Raiders. And as I mentioned, 14 penalties for 166. And then New Orleans right after that got housed by the Buffalo Bills. New Orleans is 5-6 on the outside looking in of the NFC playoff picture now for the first time. Trevor Siemian was 17 of 29 for 163 in that game. One touchdown, one pick, sacked twice. But the Saints only had, against the Bills, in a 31-6 drubbing, only had 12 first downs and 190 total yards, 44 of which were rushing. I said Dallas minus 7. That was my guess on the run.
You're a little steep. It's 6. You know, my power ratings, you know, and this was one of those, as soon as I wrote it down, my power ratings come to 4. And I'm thinking,
no.
Boy, you know, Trevor Siemian, to quote Dennis Green, he is what we thought he was. You know, to paraphrase Dennis Green.
Yes.
QBR yesterday, 14.2. I hate to tell you, I don't think that's outlandish to tell you the story of Trevor Siemian. He's just not that good of a quarterback. You know, and there was, you know, and I've mentioned, I have this grading system that I use, and I think some early grades out of New Orleans skewed my grades too high. So I think I have not lowered them enough. So I think you are a little high with the 7. I'm going to use 6, because that's really the predominant number. I even see a 5.5 out there. I think 6. I'm not going to dicker. Some guy didn't like me saying dicker. Other guys playing bingo, love it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dicker with the 6. I think the 6 is fine. That's where I'm going to open it.
So much of this comes down to the presence or lack thereof of Alvin Kamara. If he's a go,
yeah.
Different story.
Right. Well,
if he's not.
I mean, Siemian he's not a starting NFL quarterback. He just isn't.
He really isn't. All right, that's the Thursday night game, Dallas at New Orleans. First thing on Sunday. No need to linger on that one.
Maybe Kirk Cousins will line up under the center here. Vikings at Lions.
Vikings at Lions. Vikings lose to the 49ers in a game of 5-5s. Two teams with a 5-5 record, which has, you know, big playoff implications. The Vikings end up losing to the Niners by 8. The Vikings are a couple things with the Vikings. They're the only team this year in the NFL to lead every game at some point by 7 or more points. That's the first thing. And by the way, you're 5-6 with that stat. All 6 of their losses combined, they've lost all 6 this season by a total of 26 points. And that's with the 8 yesterday, 34-26. So before that, it was 5 by 18. Now it's 6 by 26 points. And Dalvin Cook got hurt. To add injury to insult, Dalvin Cook left the game yesterday with a shoulder injury in the third quarter. Everybody monitoring his status today. Kirk Cousins, 20 of 32 for 238, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sack once. He's still 23 touchdowns and 3 picks on the season. Still a great ratio. However, let me just say this is a guy who is a Washington football guy who watched every game, every snap of Kirk Cousins' career in D.C. That yesterday was the quintessential vintage Kirk Cousins performance. Because like I said, when you watch Jared Goff, unless you watch him, a box score doesn't capture how bad his accuracy and his decision-making is, right? Kirk Cousins, I'm not saying he's as bad as Jared Goff, but that game, despite, you know, okay stats, key moments where he just overthrows Justin Jefferson, the final fourth down.
Yeah.
Forget the lining up under the guard. The two-point conversion where he just threw the ball into the dirt.
Yeah.
Even Justin Jefferson's like,
yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
What was that? Justin Jefferson, by the way, 4 catches for 83 yards, 1 pass, 1-for-1 passing for 24. Kenny Nwangwu, first player with 2 kickoff returns for a touchdown in a season since 2015, but the Vikings gave up 208 rushing yards to the Niners. That was the story of the game. The Niners Time of possession Kings. Once again, they out time of possession the Vikings 37-07 to 22-53. Who are they at Detroit?
Yeah.
The 0-10-1 Lions, who probably came off the one game that we're going to have a shot at winning this year on Thanksgiving against the Chicago Bears. Yeah, pardon me. Goff, speaking of Goff, he was 21 of 25 for 171. Who cares? Two touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Little dinks the whole game. The Lions only had 14 first downs. They only had 239 total yards, and they had 10 penalties for 67 yards themselves. I'll say the Vikings... What did I say with the Cowboys? 7? I'll say the Vikings 7.5 here over Detroit.
I don't quite like your number better, but we're going to split the difference. It's 7, a blanket. 7 like a blanket. My power ratings come to 8. I actually do see a 7.5 out there with heavy juice on the dog. I see 7s with some juice on the favorite. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong game. I'm looking at the game below it. No, it's pretty much a blanket 7. I'm going to open the 7. I don't like that because we don't use juice or anything. I don't like to mess around too much. So scratch that stuff that I see higher numbers. I don't. We'll get to that in the next game. So I'm going to open 7. If I see it trending higher, I'm going higher.
I was going to say, I'm surprised it's 7. I know I had 7.5, so I didn't like go soaring over 7.
Yeah, well, I made it 8, so yeah. Not crazy.
You had the Vikings yesterday, Jeff? Was that one of you guys lost on, the mm-hmm. Vikings?
Well, I had it personally, yes.
Oh, you had it personally.
Yeah. I had it in a contest, too. So, you know, I was I retweeted parlay when when Cousins lined up under guard.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Niners coming up. But this is one of those where it's like the Vikings are just that team, right? They're just that team. All 6 losses by a combined 26 points, yet they've led by 7 or more in every single game. And at some point now you look at it, there's only 6 games left in the season. So this game against the Lions just feels like the take out our frustration game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be the game where they want to step on the gas and can step on the gas. And I hate to go by the pattern all the time, but Detroit's tended to follow a good game by a terrible game. You know, I don't know if there's something emotional in that. And some guy tweeted something out the other day. Are we sure that Dan Campbell isn't Mike Singletary?
Yeah. Mike Singletary, who up until a few weeks ago had a better win percentage than Kyle Shanahan, as coach of the Niners. Yeah. I think we have to throw that stat out now. But this feels like the Vikings should blow him out. By the way, even if Dalvin Cook can't go... It's Alexander Mattison, who is a great backup running back, as far as backup running backs go. And you just feel like, first of all, let's look at it the other way. If they lose to the Lions, let's just go there. The Lions, who probably the only remaining game on their schedule that they probably have a shot realistically at winning is the game at Atlanta. And even that's dicey. But if the Vikings were to lose this football game, Mike Zimmer should not be allowed on the plane back. Like, that should be the end of this season for them.
He might be at the end anyway.
He would be. I'm obviously exaggerating. By the way, shoulder dislocation is the official word for Dalvin Cook. They'll have an MRI today to determine the extent of the damage caused. But the Vikings, to me, 7 isn't high enough. At 7, I might grab the Vikings here real quick.
Sometimes I like to look at things. Where's this number going to go? We're going to 6.5? We're going to 7.5? I don't see us going to 6.5.
No. Can't imagine that influx of money. We got to bet Detroit here. I don't see that. We'll come back. More guessing lines. We'll also update all the survivor details. $200,000 in entry currently. It's the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Chris Z. Andrews, my mishpucha, the man who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right behind us here, right here at the South Point. He is with us, of course, the star of the show. What year is this? Our 10th year doing this? Who knows?
I lost. We got to count. Something like that.
We got to count. So you had a book called Then One Day, which I was honored to write the foreword for. It was you used to do story time on this podcast when we were only a podcast. You used to do story time, which was beloved by everybody who listened to it. No one cared about this portion. They're like, give me a story. Tim Lawson, by the way, deserves a shout-out at The Better Life, who keeps tweeting out.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, thank you, Tim. Yeah.
They're so great that he does that.
I know.
So he keeps them alive, and we really appreciate that from Tim. But the book was called Then One Day. It was the sort of fleshing out of those stories and so much more. And it was hilarious. Yeah. It was poignant. It was wonderful. And now your follow-up is here.
Well, the follow-up, and I talked to Anthony Curtis and Dee Castleman, who's the editor. Anthony's the publisher. Yeah, I said, well, you know, let's write a book, 1 year in the life of a bookmaker. And I thought, you know, hey, it was inspired by, if anybody ever got a chance to read National Football Lottery by Larry Merchant, did it in 1973, A Year in the Life of Betting Football. So it's kind of inspired by that. Anyway, started out, you know, playoffs, Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden COVID hits. So we're like halfway through the year, you know, and I'm like, this book did not go anywhere near where I thought it was going to be. So I sent all my stuff to those guys. I said, is this any good? Should we keep doing this? And they said, yeah, yeah, it's good. The writing, they like my writing, fortunately.
Because you were worried that it just went down a somber direction or just a more serious direction?
Yeah, much more serious. Because I thought, you know, everybody, like we always joke, everybody wants to know how the sports book did on the after the weekend. Everybody's curious about it. So I just, let's walk through a whole year of it. But this was not what I intended. But I tried to inject as much humor as possible, followed it on a daily basis. I wrote everything in real time. I went back and, you know, edited, like, you know, the language, the punctuation, that sort of thing, but never changed my thoughts on a daily basis. And it was a crazy year. And I think, you know, if you're expecting the exact same thing of then one day, I kind of wanted it to be that, but it just didn't turn out that way.
And it's called?
It's called Then 1 Year. And The pre-orders have been fantastic. So you can go right now to Huntington Press. You can follow the link on my Twitter page. I don't have the Amazon link yet, but you can order it directly from Huntington Press. Like I said, pre-orders have been fantastic. So now I hope everybody likes it. But if you're looking for the exact same thing as Then One Day, it's going to be a lot different. But hopefully the writing style is the same, and you'll appreciate that.
I
feel like the first book.
Can't wait to read it again at Andrews Sports, your Twitter, which we never shout out, right?
Yeah, at Andrews Sports, and it's my pinned tweet. With the, you just click on that and you can order it from directly from Huntington Press.
Perfect. And shout out to Jason Kahn for the title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Produced the number 7.
Yeah, Then 1 Year. Yeah, because I was thinking, yeah, because it's not going to be, you know, so then, I'll give a tease for the next book. Anthony and Deke want me to write another, because a lot of the stories that I wanted to put in this book just didn't fit. They want me to write one more. Then another year it'll probably be, because I'll have like a trilogy. But that might be a while to come out, so we'll see.
All right, so at Andrews Sports, all the information for Then 1 Year. Congratulations, that's huge.
Thanks, yeah.
Do you take an hour a night to write? Like, what's your process on this?
I would either write, you know, kind of late at night and capsulize the whole day, or get up really early in the morning. I mean, like 4 or 5 in the morning, and, you know, capsulize the day before. And sometimes I started at night, and there's a lot that went on.
Oh yeah,
a lot. Even though sports was kind of a side issue, but I tried to do everything through the lens of either sports or gambling. If you want to read stuff by Bob Woodward, this ain't it.
Okay.
You know, although a lot of that was happening, you know, there's other guys who, real journalists who documented the year that was pretty crazy. But, you know, this is through the lens of sports and betting.
Good for you, man. I can't wait to read it. Then 1 Year. Again, follow all the information at Andrews Sports. Mr. Parlay, what is next in the early window?
Next up, off the bye. The Arizona Cardinals go to Chicago to take on the Bears.
All right, well, not much to say here. As you said, Arizona off the bye, still with the best record in the National Football League, 9-2. One would assume Kyler Murray is back for this. Missed the last, was it 3 games that he missed in a row, Kyler Murray? 9-2 Cardinals at the Bears, who are coming off Thanksgiving with their win over Detroit last second field goal to beat Detroit. Andy Dalton was 24 of 39 in that game for 317, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked once. And after saying that Justin Fields would be the quarterback, Matt Nagy did the sort of about face. Andy Dalton will be the quarterback for this game. I hate to be a broken record. Arizona -7, 3 in a row for me.
It's pretty much 7, but this was the game that I kind of was looking at the wrong game. It's 7... almost like a blanket, but there's some 7 with juice on the favorite. I see a 7.5 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 7.5 and take a whack here. I still think Arizona's playing some great football. They played great even with Colt McCoy at quarterback. And like I said, I've been a little slow to come around on Kyler Murray, but you know, right now he is playing terrific football, and the team I mean, not only is he playing terrific football, the whole team is really well balanced in pretty much everything they do. I have them at the top of my power ratings.
We all kind of do, because who else are you going to put there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking just, and like I said, I have that grading system that's not perfect, but they're at the top. Like, New England and Tampa Bay are the only two that are within half a point of them, you know.
I got Green Bay up there too myself.
Well, Green Bay, yeah. They had a couple games that lowered their grade. Like I said, it's not an essay.
No.
These are true false, multiple truths.
I'd like your answers by the end of the show,
please. Yeah. So I'm going to open 7.5 on this one, and they'll probably take it off me, and God bless.
All right. I still go back to the other game. I think Minnesota's too low at 7. I like the 7.5 there. Jeff, next.
They're all going to run to the counter to take the 7.5 off of you, Chris.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
All right, so Tampa Bay comes from behind to beat the Colts yesterday. It was 24-7 Colts at the half, and then Tampa turned that around. It was 24-14 at the half. Tampa Bay outscores the Colts 24-7 in the second half to win it 38-31. And boy, for those of us who had the Colts, what a brutal against the spread pre-flop loss this was. That should have been a push at the very least. But Leonard Fournette had to house it. No bitterness. Brady was 25 of 34 yesterday for 226, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked twice. It's the ninth career season for Brady with 30 touchdown passes, tied for second all-time. Fournette, 17 for 103 touchdowns on the ground, seven catches for 31 and another touchdown. Four touchdowns for Fournette ties the Buccaneers franchise record. Gronk, 7 for 123. Shaq Barrett, two sacks, a fumble forced, and a fumble recovery. The story with this game, though, is the turnovers, as it is in so many NFL games. The Buccaneers were +3 in turnovers. They turned it over twice themselves, but the Colts turned it over 5 times. +3 in the second half. By the way, there was the one final interception at the end, but +3 in turnovers will do it most every time. Atlanta, they win. They go up to 5-6, so I guess they're still in the conversation. Matt Ryan, 19 of 29 in the Falcons' 21-14 win over the Jaguars for 190 yards. That's all he threw for. One touchdown, one pick, sack once. Cordarrelle Patterson, 16 carries for 108 yards, two touchdowns, two catches for 27. Gage, 6 for 62 and a touchdown. Let me just say this. If we were giving out the Bizarro MVP award for players that absolutely will not get a single vote, but are probably the literal MVPs on their team, I would say Deebo Samuel on the Niners.
Yeah. He might get some literal votes, though.
And Cordarrelle Patterson of the Falcons.
Yeah.
Like, without these guys, these teams are nothing, it would seem. Anyway, I would say Tampa Bay minus 10 here as the road favorite brigade continues.
Yeah, this is for the first time on the show, diminishing returns, because my power ratings come to about 14 on this game. And I knew that's just way too high. But it's 10, again, like a blanket. We got a lot of blankets out there so far today. 10 like a blanket. I'm going to open 10, but if I see this trending higher, I'm going to go higher. I still think Atlanta just stinks. I think they're just an awful, awful team. And Matt Ryan, he's fallen off a cliff. I mean, I think this, he was, I wouldn't say Hall of Famer, but kind of like just under that level. But he's not playing like that now, and the rest of the team is just horrible. So I think 10's okay, and that's what I'm going to open it.
Yeah. What a strange way to start this show with all these, like, massive road favorites. Yeah. I think of all of them, I like Minnesota the best of the ones we've gone through so far. Anyway. Interesting that's how week 13 starts. We'll see if there's more of these. We'll come back. We'll continue with week 13. Guessing lines. I don't know the lines. I'm guessing them. I've been in a cocoon. Chris tells me what the line's going to be, how far off I am, what he's going to post. Nothing is posted behind us at the South Point until this show ends about 90 minutes from now. We'll do that. And a Survivor update. All the details. This is fascinating. Next, right here from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines. Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews here. Happy Hanukkah to you, Chris, as well.
Happy Hanukkah to you, too.
I just wanted to get the in there. What is it, night number? Someone had to remind me yesterday that it was Hanukkah.
Somebody tweeted it, but I got the menorah out.
There you go.
You gifted me.
Yes.
Years ago.
Greatest menorah in all of Las Vegas this man possesses. All right, let's do a Survivor update. We interrupt this guessing lines for Survivor. So Circa Survivor, and again, shout out to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeffrey Benson, Matt Metcalf, all the guys over there who have put on, yes, Circa Millions is great too, But there's nothing like Circus Survivor. It is the greatest thing ever. So this year we started again with 4,080 entries the first 7 weeks of the season. No underdog of 7.5 or greater won a game. So really in the first 7 weeks of the season, it went from 4,080 to 2,131 in terms of the number of entries, which is, you know, not a lot considering 7 weeks. And then in a 15-day span, weeks 8, 9, and 10, over 90% of the remaining 2,131 got blasted, including yours truly, ladies and gentlemen.
Including yours truly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all got
We're already discussing strategy for next year.
Yeah. And then, I'm sure you are. And so here's the thing. Then we had the Thanksgiving standalone week, and then we had this gauntlet of a day yesterday. Anyway, we are down. Circus Survivor is down to 30 out of 4,080 total entries, 30, with two, by the way, two entries pending tonight on the Seattle Seahawks. More on that in a minute. Each of the remaining 30 heading into tonight currently has an intrinsic value of $200,000. Methinks it's hedge time for the remaining people. Now, of the 30 remaining, and again with two pending tonight, but of the 30 remaining, two people have two entries. So you clearly got to power rank those two guys, or girls, one and two, because they're in the driver's seat having two. So 28 different people, best we can tell, comprise the remaining 30. Now, this past week, here's where it gets interesting. Only 14 of 40 had New England available. The reason I isolate them, they were the biggest spread on the board, and they were facing a Tennessee team that was without their three best offensive players. So that was really, if you had New England and only 14 of 40 did, you were at a distinct advantage heading into this past week. But only 12 of the 14 decided to go with them. One of them eschewed, I just wanted to use the word eschew, one entry, instead of taking New England, took Seattle tonight. And another went with Cincinnati successfully instead of New England. Now, you can only figure that the person who took Seattle over New England tonight had to be doing it for hedging purposes because it was the standalone last game.
Mm.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise.
I don't know.
Otherwise, what are they doing?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't like Seattle tonight, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Now, there was one person who had the Chargers. They went with the Chargers but had Cincinnati, San Francisco, and Baltimore all available but decided to take a road team in the Chargers. They ended up getting eliminated. And one of the remaining double entries, one of the three remaining double entries, remember, we only have two left now, but one of the three remaining went with the split, went with the sacrifice bunt, took Miami and Carolina on both sides. And remember, that was the same person who headed into Thanksgiving. Heading into Thanksgiving, we had 12 different people who had either two entries remaining or three remaining entries. And all of them but this person, none of them took the split option, which was fascinating that they waited all year to get to Thanksgiving where you had the option to do that, and only one of them did it. And the only reason this person did it, who did it again now with Miami and Carolina, was because they didn't have Buffalo or Dallas left. And so they were kind of, quote-unquote, forced into it. At least that was their thinking beforehand, one would assume. The other entry on Carolina, by the way, had Cincinnati available. They thought they should go with Carolina. And then the last entry with Dallas available was eliminated. So along with Buffalo, both Dallas and Buffalo now dead to the field. But 30 remaining, intrinsic value of $200,000, two pending tonight.
You know, one thing... And again, we're already discussing strategy for next year. But, you know, even though home field advantage has been basically zero, and Jeff Fogel has some really good stuff about that. Great follow on Twitter, by the way, Jeff Fogel. Boy, you take a road favorite, that's been the demise of a lot of people, including us.
Who was your demise in the end?
We've had a bunch of interest. But got us the top mark history was Dallas on Thanksgiving Day.
Buffalo for me against Jacksonville.
So I know there's some Raider fans out there.
Yeah. But I will say the difference between this year and last year, I'll say it one more time, is last year I literally only would have lost one the whole way. This year I would have been beaten up a few times.
I don't know what we would have had yesterday. Yeah. You know, I can't even, once we were out of it, I blanked out. I have no clue what I would have had yesterday. I don't know. We probably would have lost yesterday.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Congratulations to the 28 remaining people responsible for those 30. What a run it's been. And now you would imagine it is hedging time. But as long as there's two people with two entries, the chop is kind of off the table because those two people have a distinct advantage. What is next, Jeffrey?
Probably continuing the theme of the day. We're getting Indianapolis at Houston next.
Oh, my God. Sounded like every single game is like this. Indianapolis, we mentioned, lose to Tampa Bay yesterday. They were up 10 at the half, seemed to be in control of this football game, and then Tampa Bay housed them in the second half. Carson Wentz in the first half was 16 of 24 for 197, three touchdowns, no picks, and was sacked twice. But then, by the end of the game, he was only 27 of 44 after that start for 306, three touchdowns, two INTs, three sacks, three carries for 21 yards, and a fumble lost. By the way, he'd only had two interceptions in his previous nine games before he threw the two yesterday. Jonathan Taylor, this was really the story of the game. The Buccaneers kept Jonathan Taylor in check.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, 16 for 83 on the ground with a touchdown, four catches for 14. You hold him to 97 scrimmage yards, you'll take it every time.
Yeah.
Every time. By the way, Nyheim Hines, two lost fumbles. Oof. I think that's correct. Yeah, five turnovers total for Indianapolis, minus three for the game. They allowed three touchdowns and one field goal on five Tampa Bay second-half possessions. That was the turnaround of the game. And then there's Houston. Houston loses to your Jets, parlay, 21-14. Tyrod Taylor, 17 of 26 for 158, two touchdowns, one pick, sacked five times, two carries for 30 yards. Only 13 first downs for the Texans against the Jets. Only 202 total yards. So he's right. Jeff is right. In keeping with the theme of the day, Indianapolis minus 10. I think the Colts are way better than their record of 6-6.
I see this number anywhere between 7.5 and 9.
Ooh, give me the Colts.
Yeah, my numbers. Okay, we're going to diminishing returns one more time. My pure power rating numbers, like I said, it's just a place to start, 14.5. Well, that's a bit steep. I mean, it's hard to cover as a road favorite. A team that's limited. I mean, it's not great. I think they're playing well, you know, despite what happened yesterday.
Because some of these home dogs will get home.
They will. Yeah. They will. But I am going to be at the top of the list. So I'm going to open 9 for now. But just to backtrack for a second here, we talked about Tampa Bay. That's to go back to your DJing days, zooming up the charts. It's now anywhere between 11 and 12, Tampa Bay.
Just as we were speaking?
Just as we were speaking, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that has gone way up. So I'm going to see where this line settles. You know, whatever the top is, that's where I'm going to be. So right now it would be 12 if I was going to open.
So let's just review what we've done on this show so far. Dallas at New Orleans.
Yeah.
Which was what, 7 in the end?
Six.
Six, okay. So that's the shortest of the bunch.
Yeah, that's the shortest.
I guessed 7.
And we're all on the road, too, by the way.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, now up to 11 or 12 at Atlanta.
Yeah.
Arizona, 7, was it at Chicago?
7. I'm going to open 7.5.
Yeah. And Minnesota, I said 7.5, but you said it's 7 at Detroit.
Yeah.
And then just now, Indianapolis, which you said you're opening at what?
I'm going to open 9. Like I said, I see it anywhere from 7.5 to 9, and every number in between. You can play bingo with that number right there. But I'm going to be at the top. I like 9 best.
Okay, we've never started. Can I say this? We've never started a guessing lines with 5 games like that. Big road favorites in all of them.
I would very convincingly say we have never started
a show with that.
5 straight road favorites of a touchdown or more.
Because they will all make the question of which of the big favorites do you think is most likely to lose outright. I will say this, of that 5, I think I like the Colts and the Vikings of those 5.
So, yeah, I know, and I haven't mentioned QBR much yet today. Yeah. Tyrod Taylor, who I keep... every time I watch him, I say, yeah, he's not that bad. 22.1 was his QBR yesterday. Pretty pitiful.
Yeah, not a great game for him. Not a good football team. This just in. All right, more guessing lines. Still in the early window for week number 13 next Sunday. We'll do that and a whole bunch more. Tell you what we like the most at the end of the show. Teaser legs, Survivor picks. Good Lord, Survivor. Coming back. Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If Washington wins that game tonight, they are within two games of the Dallas Cowboys and the NFC East.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. Right at this very moment already, the Washington football team, the 4-6 football teamers, control their own destiny.
Really?
Well, because this is what I've said all year, is they have that last run of their schedule is their get-out-of-jail-free stretch. They got Dallas twice. They got Philly twice. They got the Giants. Five of their six division games, the last six games of the season. But they got to win tonight against Seattle. Yes, sir. Meanwhile, Jeff Parlay.
Daniel Snyder.
Jeff, oh, don't say it that way. makes me cringe. All right, you do have some Dallas Cowboys news, though.
One other note also on Washington. If they win tonight, they'll be the seventh seed at the end of the going into next week.
The
as
playoffs.
Wild that is.
Wow.
They
That's
would
phenomenal.
Be the seventh
Shows
seed.
Shows you where the NFC. Well, I mean, I'd say the same about the AFC.
How dare you?
Speaking of the Cowboys, Chris, we may have a situation to monitor here. Mike McCarthy's tested positive for COVID, according to Adam Schefter.
Oh, wow.
And Schefter, in a follow-up tweet, as one league source just said, they're up to eight positives in Dallas. Details still rolling in. So that, remember, Thursday night
Whoa.
For Dallas.
Thursday, yeah.
Whoa.
So that is something to monitor.
If it was just McCarthy, I might go from six to seven on the number. But if it's a bunch of other guys, I might have to take a second look.
Of course, we hope everybody's healthy and safe.
Yeah, I hope everybody's healthy.
Have to say that.
It's a mild case.
Yeah. So, but that's, Jeff, that's the biggest news of this show. That's a Thursday game, as you point out. So, first of all, if you end up if you're unvaccinated, you have no shot if you end up positive playing Thursday.
You're out for 10 days minimum, right?
And vaccinated, I don't even know if you can turn it around for Thursday or not.
You have to have two negatives.
Two negatives within 24 hours. But even that's been, we've had situations like that. Maybe it's early enough. I mean, I don't know. You said it best.
Because you can't practice. You can't be at the facility.
Right.
You know. I guess you could do some Zoom meetings and stuff.
Yeah, one more follow-up to that. Schefter saying McCarthy is out. We know the Dallas coaching staff is fully vaccinated, so McCarthy's got to be exhibiting symptoms in order to be already KO'd from that game on Thursday.
Chris, he just went to seven.
I got to see the rest of the list.
I knew my guess was right. Wow, that's huge. You hear that, Washington football teamers? Not only could you be within two, but you might have an opportunity to get even closer at that point.
By Thursday night. Yeah.
Not to in any way diminish the story.
No.
Wow, that's a big deal. All right, let's continue with Sunday morning.
Continuing on Sunday morning, the Eagles at the Jets.
Eagles at the Jets. Eagles was a big consensus pick in Circa Million, and the Eagles did not get it done.
Did you see the Circa Million? They were the consensus picks, the 1-4.
1-4.
Yeah.
You knew that week was coming at some point. Eagles lose to the Giants 13-7. So the Eagles squander their opportunity to make ground on the Cowboys, to gain ground on the Cowboys, who lost, obviously, on Thanksgiving. First of all, let me just say this. Philadelphia at the Jets. So two straight games where they're at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Right back to the scene of the crime next week. You ever recall that happening before?
I don't recall. No, I don't recall.
I want to say San Francisco or somebody had to do it once.
Here's the one for you. It was Adam Gase's first year in New York. The Bills, week one at the Jets, week two at the Giants.
Okay.
Won them both.
There you go. There you go. There's a New York.
That's the last one to do it.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was two seasons ago. That was 2019.
All right. So the Eagles, back-to-back games at the Meadowlands. They hope this one goes better against the Jets. Yesterday, let's see here, 4th and 2 at the Giants, 40, down 3-0, 12:51 left in the third quarter. They go for it and fail. That pretty much was a symbol of their game yesterday. Jalen Hurts, 14 of 31 for 129 passing, no touchdowns, 3 picks, sacked once, 8 carries for 77 yards, Scott, 15 for 64 to touchdowns, Sanders, 9 for 64. Anyway, it was the 5th straight game that the Eagles had 175-plus rushing yards. But they were minus 4 in turnovers. That's all you need to know, period. End of story. They had 4 turnovers. The Giants had none. KD bar the door, you're going to lose, and they did, 13-7. The Jets, as we mentioned, beat Houston. They had a 4th and 1 at the Houston 15, up 18-14, 4:45 left. I like to track all the 4th downs. They went for it. They converted, but they ended up having to kick a field goal anyway. But that held, 21-14. Zach Wilson, 14 completed forward passes. 14 for 24, 14 for Jalen Hurts yesterday too. 14 for 24 for 145. No touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 4 times. The Jets were only 2 of 13 on 3rd down. They were 2 of 2 on 4th, though. They outgained Houston a whopping 266-202. What a football game. And the Jets win. It's the same Philly minus 6 at the Jets? Like, what is this? This is another one.
It's another diminishing returns number for me. My numbers come to 12. You know, I mean, we're talking, again, QBR, you're mentioning Jalen Hurts. Didn't light it up. 17.3 for his QBR. Zach Wilson. Little did we know they'd be chanting for Micah White in this game.
Micah White.
Micah White. Hello, Mike Alvarez. 9.8 for his QBR.
Zach Wilson.
Oh, so, man. I mean, just an abysmal performance. In victory, by the way.
In victory.
Like I said, my numbers come to 12. You just can't post that kind of number. It's just too easy for a home team to cover in a situation like that. But I see it 6.5 and 7. Again, I'm going to be on the high end. I'm going to use 7. So, I think you're a little light on this, but
I figured if Philly was what were they against the Giants? 3.5?
Yeah, but it went up.
Yeah, so why I just added a couple points.
Yeah. Well, again, I told you I did some forensic handicapping because they're on Philly all the time.
Yes.
And really, I think the handicap is the power of their defense. Now, I know they lost yesterday, but they only gave up 13 points. You know, so it was really, their offensive failures. I don't think they'll have those kind of offensive failures against the Jets, and I don't think the Jets are going to have any offensive success against that Philly defense. So I do tend to like the higher number here.
This is
unbelievable.
This is the finest road favorite week there's ever been.
You know what? I'll be sweating teasers come Sunday like you can't believe. Because the only thing they like better than a home favorite is a road favorite because you get to lay less points.
One of these home dogs is winning.
Put that on a t-shirt too.
Yeah. Next, sir. We'll try to squeeze one in here.
It's a pretty good one. Chargers at Bengals.
That's a good one.
Chargers at Bengals. Boy, the Chargers, how they have fallen. We're going to have to get the guess at, or get the actual line after the break. But the Chargers lose to the Broncos. and lose pretty big. I mean, Justin Herbert was 28 of 44 for 303, two touchdowns, but two picks, sacked three times, four carries for 36 yards. Justin Herbert threw two fourth quarter interceptions, including a pick six, in the Chargers' 28-13 loss to the Broncos. There was a fourth and fourth at Denver 34, down 14-7, 1:29 left in the third quarter. They went for it. They converted, but three plays later, it was the first of Herbert's fourth quarter picks. And then the second one was Patrick Surtain, the second of his two picks, 70-yard return to the house that made it 28-7 halfway through the fourth quarter, and basically the game was down at that game was over at that point. By the way, there was one other thing. The Chargers cut it to 28-13, the eventual final score. They went for two and failed. They outgained Denver 357-302, but were minus one in turnovers. They had nine penalties for 75 yards, and oh well, that'll do it. Eckler 12 for 31 on the ground, six catches for 68 and a touchdown. The only interesting Justin Herbert stat, and you can really can't hang your hat on this because they lose badly yesterday, but do you know he's never had three consecutive three and outs in his whole career?
Really?
This year and a half of his career?
Wow.
Not a single time three consecutive.
His QBR was 59.4, which I thought was
a little high.
A little inordinately high, yeah.
They're at Cincinnati. Cincinnati with their fourth win this season by 19-plus points. They crush the Steelers 41-10.
They didn't take the foot off the pedal at all.
I don't blame them, I guess, but you know. We'll talk about this after the break. But Burrow, 20 of 24. He only had four passes that did not reach a Bengal receiver. 20 of 24 for 190, one touchdown, one pick was sacked twice. Mixon, 28 for 165 and two touchdowns. T. Higgins, six catches for 114 and a touchdown. The Bengals were plus two in turnovers. But their touchdown, they got a touchdown the first drive of the game. Then they were 5 yards short of a pick six. The next drive, got a field goal out of that to make it 10-0. Then they went right downfield after a Pittsburgh field goal to make it 17-3. And then it was a Mike Tomlin poor decision fest, and the rout was on. We will document those details, give you the guess. Well, I'll give you my guess now. I'll say Cincinnati minus 4.5. We'll get the actual line next from Chrissy. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, Jeffrey Parlay. Guessing lines, week 13 in the National Football League. Unlike any guessing lines before in terms of the cavalcade of road favorites that we've gone through one after another. Finally, we have gotten to one. That is not that. I'll save the Mike Tomlin stuff for the Pittsburgh game.
Oh, I can't wait.
But let's just say that it was 17-3, and then Tomlin just ensured that it wasn't going to get any better. And so Cincinnati ends up beating Pittsburgh badly, 41-10. They sweep Pittsburgh for the first time since 2009, picking up where we left off with this Chargers at Cincinnati game. I said Cincinnati minus 4.5.
Well, I definitely like your number better, so mark that on your bingo card. It's 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog. I'm opening a solid 3, and you want to come on in and take it at minus 110, be my guest. You know, you always, I've talked about it, you know, for the years that we've done this show, not as many as I thought. Joke, that only seems like forever, I guess.
What did Tim Lawson told us when we started?
14.
Because I 2014. Because I guess I did it 2 years before you were.
Dave Esler. Yeah, and then I did a Megapod with you, and that's when.
That's right.
You asked me if I'd want to come on and do this.
That's right.
Which we did. Anyway, I definitely like the Bengals better. But anyway, one of the things I talked about is you got to be careful betting momentum in the NFL, and that's positive or negative momentum. And you want to buy low and sell high. Well, this isn't that case, but I'm wondering, because this may be an exception to the rule, because I think the Chargers right now are going downhill. They're trending badly down. Now, the Bengals, going into yesterday's game, hadn't played well in the last couple of games. They took out a lot of frustration on the Steelers, a lot. So I'm not really looking at the Bengals being so great, although I think they have the potential to become very, very good, because I think Joe Burrow is the real deal. Still a lot of questions about their coach. But, you know, momentum-wise, I see the momentum going drastically against the Chargers right now. They seem like they went early in the season where I thought they'd be one of the Super Bowl favorites, where now they're just clinging to the hopes of a playoff spot, maybe. I think the Bengals are in a good position right here. I like the Bengals here.
I love it. They're 2.5. I love the Bengals here. There's a few things here. One, it's Herbert versus Burrow, the two quarterbacks drafted last year that have spoiled rookie quarterbacks for a whole generation.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because it's like, no, this is not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
But like all these five guys that were drafted in the first round.
We forgot about Jamarcus Russell and a bunch of other guys.
But like if you just woke up to rookie quarterbacks being Herbert and Burrow, you're like, why do these guys suck so bad this year? Well, this is how it's supposed to be. I know Mac Jones hasn't sucked. Sorry. That's one thing. One, the Chargers, I mentioned this on Primetime Action last week, they seem like the team that if they did get to the playoffs would get just destroyed in the wild card game by anybody. The Bengals, and we were just talking about this off air, when you look at the AFC and not to mention the NFC playoff scenarios, I mean, this is going to be bananas this year. And the AFC right now, and we'll get to the Ravens, obviously, because the Ravens won last night, but the Ravens are the number one seed. That team is the number one seed.
Did you watch the game last night?
Did
I? Oh, my God.
New England is currently number two. Tennessee, who has no players, are number three.
And we were saying 2 weeks ago they looked like a lock number one.
Well, when you don't have your three best offensive players.
That might hurt
that's
you.
That's a problem. Not one, not two, but three. And, Jeff, you were saying you did some of these, like this ESPN.
So the playoff machine is back. Yes. So you can put in whatever scenarios you want and figure out where everyone's going to lock in. And going through it, now, Cincinnati's schedule is difficult the rest of the way. Yeah. There's no arguing that. But they do get the toughest of the games at home. This week, the 49ers, the Ravens, and in week 17, Kansas City. They've already pounded Baltimore once. If Cincinnati can win those home games and get one of those two road games.
That's a hard schedule, though.
Oh, yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
They have an uphill battle for sure, but it is not impossible they could get the one seed at this point. You know, not impossible.
Unlike Tennessee, which has their easy games in front of them if they can get players back. And unlike Baltimore, who just like, that's the number one team in the AFC right now. Jesus. All right.
Can I tell you, though, I'm still not convinced on Kansas City, but we'll get to that because there's some night game.
I'm not either. I'm not convinced about New England. Everybody is just climbing over each other, heaping praise on the Patriots.
Yeah.
I am not one of them. Beat somebody. We'll get to that coming up. What's next? Are we still in the early window here?
We are. Okay. New England's going to have that chance this week, by the way. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Giants and Dolphins.
Giants and Dolphins. There's another barn burner. Giants and Dolphins. The Giants, we mentioned, they forced the Eagles. Again, it was +4 in turnovers for the Giants against the Eagles. That's really all you need to know. Because the Giants only had 264 total yards. Daniel Jones was only 19 of 30 for 202, one touchdown, no picks, and was sacked once. But here are all of the Eagles' possessions in this game. And I think this is the biggest thing that gets lost on the casual football fan is how few possessions you actually have in a game. So the Eagles, 3 and out, Jalen Hurts interception. 3 and out, Jalen Hurts interception. 4 and out, Jalen Hurts interception. Touchdown, 6 and out, fumble, 8 and out, ball game. You're not going to win games that way.
No, wow.
-4 in turnovers.
Yeah.
3 picks and a fumble. And they're playing who? Miami. Miami's gone from 1-7 to 5-7. Give it up for Brian Flores and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Tua had 4 passes that weren't complete yesterday. He was 27 of 31 for 230. 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked twice. Jalen Waddle. See the Waddle penguin dance when he scored a touchdown? I love that. 9 catches for 137 and a touchdown. The Dolphins held Carolina to 10 first downs. 10. They held them to 198 total yards, only 64 rushing. And they held Cam Newton to 5 of 21 for 92 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked once. Cam Newton benched in the fourth quarter for P.J. Walker. Walker ended up 5 of 10 for 87 against the Dolphins. But really, they held Christian McCaffrey to 10 carries for 35 yards and not a single catch. That's it. Held Christian McCaffrey to 35 yards for scrimmage. The Dolphins were +2 in turnovers in that ball game. By the way, side note, I mentioned this last week on a numbers game. Guessing lines. Cam Newton is the ultimate front runner. When he scores a touchdown yesterday, he throws a touchdown pass, I believe it was, And he like has to gather around all his teammates for a celebration. And you could see like on the teammates' faces, they're like, we don't want to do this, Cam. Like Christian McCaffrey couldn't wait to get out of there. We don't want to do this, Cam. It's early. It's still in the first half. And then he just disappeared. He gets benched. 5 of 21.
He was abysmal.
5 of 21 for 92. Anyway, Giants at Dolphins. I'll say Dolphins minus 4.
Ooh, you're high. It's 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog. I was leaning towards the 2.5 myself. Like I said, I did, you know, last week I thought was going to be an interesting battle of wise guys because they love to bet the Giants and they love to bet the Eagles, you know, and it was really, they kind of came in on the Eagles mostly. That was actually a really good game for us. I think, again, doing some forensic handicapping, one of the things I think that they really liked about the Giants was their defense. I thought defense, obviously, you went through the possessions of the Eagles yesterday. Obviously, the defense played very well. So I still think this is a team that I think they are going to bet. Besides the fact that I don't want to get too carried away with that Miami game yesterday. I'm not sure
I wouldn't either.
Totally indicative of how good a team they are. So I'm going to open this one 2.5. They'll probably lay it to me.
Yeah, they'll lay it.
You know, but if I open 3, I'm pretty sure they'd take it. I might as well take one, at least one bet on the side that I like, because I thought this number should be closer to like 1 or 2 Miami rather than up where you were at. So we're going to agree to disagree on this one.
Okay. Let's do one more here.
Late games now. Washington at Las Vegas.
All right, Washington has not played. They play tonight. Again, if Washington wins, they're within 2 of the Cowboys. Now we have Cowboys COVID considerations, as Jeff reported. Mike McCarthy is not going to coach on Thursday, and who knows what the full extent of this is. It's a Thursday quick turnaround game for Dallas. So Washington has everything on the table for themselves at 4-6, but they play tonight against Seattle. They will have Terry McLaurin in there. They will have Antonio Gibson. It looks like they'll have Curtis Samuels, too. Then there's the Raiders. Raiders coming off the Thanksgiving win in overtime against the Cowboys. Derek Carr was 24 of 39 for 373. 1 touchdown, no pick, sacked 3 times. Jacobs, 22 for 87 on the ground and a touchdown, 2 catches for 25. Third and Renfro, Hunter Renfro, 8 catches for 134. Deshaun, 3 for 102 and a touchdown. 509 total yards for the Raiders. Despite 14 penalties for 110 yards that set them back, they were the one who had the less yardage terms of the penalties.
Was that like 268 yards, I think, something like that?
14 for 166 for the Cowboys, 14 for 110 for the Raiders.
The 276.
28 for 276 total. What a game that was. Marred. Sight unseen with Washington tonight and Taylor Heinicke. I'll say the Raiders minus 3.5.
Well, let's go again. I like your number better. It's 2.5. Oh, where am I at? Yeah, it's 2.5. I see 1-3 juice on the dog, mostly 2.5. I'm going to open 3. My power ratings come to like 4, but again, sight unseen tonight. And I expect Washington to play well tonight, but I thought this was a little low. It's mostly 2.5. I'm going to open 3. I'm sure they'll take it off me, and you know we'll see what happens the rest of the week. But I'm going to open 3. I see 1-3 with juice on the dog. Otherwise, all 2.5.
I will be in attendance at this one.
Will you?
Washington's in town. I will be in attendance.
Good for you.
Through the benevolence of someone else. Thank you very much. Sort of a sixth sense on Washington. I just can see Darren Waller and those receivers just destroying them at times in this game.
Yeah.
2.5, that's it?
Yeah, it's mostly, you can lay 2.5 right now with no trouble whatsoever.
Though I will say this, in the absence of Chase Young, that defense might be able to realize their full potential. Again, I love Chase Young, but he was so undisciplined this year. Interesting game.
I think he read too many headlines about himself.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Good kid, though. Get by tonight first, Washington. We'll come back. More guessing lines afternoon in primetime next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Mr. B at 10JQKA. Talking about that note about the Eagles going back-to-back at the Meadowlands. He said, last year the Patriots played back-to-back at SoFi versus the Rams and the Chargers. Mr. B, you are right. Not only that, the Patriots were back-to-back at SoFi in a five-day span. From Sunday to Thursday.
Wow.
They crushed the Chargers 45-0 on December 6th and then turned right around on December 10th and lost to the Rams 24-3. Huh. There you go. There's the answer to that. And Mike Alvarez, having a bit of a rough morning, but thanks to the Mike Gawaita line and the shout of the and the shout out, things got to turn around. Do you have a fun story about the Raiders Washington Super Bowl you can share with Gil this week in honor of Washington playing Las Vegas this week? That's Mike's way of sticking it to me.
He loved the Mike Gawaita story.
Mike Gawaita. He's always bringing up the horrific horror of my childhood, Super Bowl 18.
Jack Swirek.
When Joe Gibbs' Washington football team had won 36 of 42 games heading in, and then apparently Russ Grimm and crew and all those guys were just partying in Tampa all night. That's the story anyway.
Oh, really? The nightmare for my end of it. I loved Washington going into that game. I was up in Reno at the time, which is big Raider country. And we just it was early in my career. I've lost much more since then. But at the time, one of the biggest losses of my career.
Duh. I couldn't even process it as a child. Like, I didn't know what I was watching. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen.
I mean, as soon as the Jack Swirek thing happens.
Rocket screen.
No chance.
What's next, Jeff?
And of course, Theismann blamed Gibbs, too, by the way.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how dare
they asked him about that. He's about plays come in from the bench. Yeah, how about the passes don't?
You mean the guy that made you into a great player?
Yeah.
The passes don't is a good line there, Chris.
I love you, Joe.
That's a good one. Thanks. That's a good one. Well, you finally get your shot at Mike Tomlin here. The Ravens are at the Steelers.
I
might go take a break.
All right, Ravens, if you missed this game last night, boy, did you miss a football game. Ravens beat the Browns 16-10 in a game that pushes the Browns down to 500 and catapults, if I may use that word, the Ravens to the number one position in the AFC. Here's some highlights. Baltimore yesterday, 4th and 2 at their own 33, 3:11 left in the first quarter, scoreless game. Cleveland, 12 men on the field penalty for a first down. 6 plays later, 3-0. Baltimore on a 52-yard Justin Tucker field goal. Send that guy right to the Hall of Fame, by the way. 4th and 1 at the Baltimore 44, 10:51 left in the second quarter, 3-0. Lamar converts it. 13 plays later on a 4th and goal from the 2, they decide to kick another field goal, 6-0. So the 4th downs pay off to 2 field goals. Then let me just say this, at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half, the entire Lamar Jackson experience. In a 2:49 span at the end of the first half, 5 turnovers combined for these two teams. A strip sack of Jarvis Landry, because he was throwing on this play. Then a Lamar interception 2 plays later. That led to a 6-3 lead. The Browns cut it to 6-3. Then a Lamar interception on the first play of the ensuing possession. Then a strip sack of Mayfield 2 plays later. Then a Lamar interception 4 plays later. So you go into the locker room, it's Baltimore 6-3. Lamar has just thrown 3 picks, interspersed with 2 Cleveland turnovers, and you're like, what am I watching? Then the third quarter begins, and Lamar, on a 3rd and 4 at their own 48 with 11:34 left in the third quarter, 6-3 game, heaves one after like running almost out of bounds, heaves one up in the air, and Mark Andrews catches it 39 yards downfield. 3 plays later, 3rd and 10 at the 13, Lamar probably drops back maybe 20 yards in scramble mode, throws it up, Andrews comes down with it in the end zone, 13-3, Ravens. That's kind of all you need to know about this game. He ends the first half with 3 picks, back-to-back-to-back, and then makes 2 ridiculous, circus, miraculous plays. And you're like, what in the world? That's the Lamar Jackson experience.
Yeah.
Lamar ended up 20 of 32 for 165, 1 touchdown, 4 picks in the end, 2 sacks, 17 carries for 68 yards. The Ravens held the Browns to 14 first downs, 262 total yards, and most importantly, only 40 yards rushing for the Browns, a team that hangs their hat on their rushing. The Ravens did it while being minus two in turnovers. Listen to this. The Ravens were -2 in turnovers, but still dominated time of possession, 37:04 to 22:56. How does that happen?
Incredible.
And then your Pittsburgh Steelers. We talked about how Cincinnati rolled them. Yeah. And remember, Cincinnati was up 17-3. And then Mike Tomlin down 17-3, fourth and four, at the Cincinnati 47. 10:25 left in the second quarter. Punts. Then fourth and one, 1:55 left in the second quarter, down 24-3 at his own 34, punts. There's more, but we'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Big Ben, 24 of 41 for 263, one touchdown, two picks, sacked three times. The Steelers were minus two in turnovers. It was the biggest halftime deficit, 28 points, 31-3 for the Steelers since 1989. Ties their worst loss, 31 points, 41-10, under Tomlin. They allowed 40-plus points in back-to-back games for the first time since 1989 as well. Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
I remember that 89 season, you know, somebody was tweeting about that, you know, Steelers wound up making the playoffs that year. They lost the first two games by a combined, I want to say 91-10 or something like that. Might be 97-10. Anyway, Tomlin evidently didn't get the memo that you got, and we're seeing this in other sports too. You got to do all you can to win the game.
Doesn't matter if you lose by 1,000.
Yeah,
you lost by 1,000 anyway.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah,
you got to try to win the game. By the way, if we have time, we'll talk about some hockey where you're seeing that's a big trend right now. You haven't made a number yet.
Baltimore, I said Baltimore minus 4.5 on the road.
Yeah, you know, I was just so unimpressed with Baltimore yesterday. By the way, my numbers come to 3, but we're talking about which way would a number go. If you open at 3, you think it's going to 2.5 or 3.5? Well, I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Well,
it's 3.5 pretty much everywhere, but mostly with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3.5 flat. We don't have too much time. Oh, we got a couple minutes. Tell you how bad that Baltimore game was last night. The only thing I really needed was Baltimore to not win by exactly 3. I needed Baltimore a little bit. So they go up by 7, so I know it's not going to come 3. I'm on the couch, you know, watching the game, fall asleep watching. And not too often I fall asleep. I wake up, my wife has Doris Day and Rock Hudson on Turner Classic. What happened in the game? She goes, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
13-6. Oh, okay. Or 13-7, whatever it was. Yeah, okay.
What's the hockey thing?
Guys are pulling goaltenders.
Earlier and earlier.
Like sometimes with 5 minutes to play.
So we noticed this in the postseason a couple years ago. We're like, because it was the same philosophy. It's like, it doesn't matter if you lose by 10
goals. Lose by a million. What's the difference?
Take the goaltender out early if you're down multiple goals.
So, I mean, I got.
But they're doing it in the regular season?
They're doing it in the regular season, and I'm watching it now. I don't know how many hockey bettors, but we got plenty here, and we got our butts kicked yesterday. But there's probably a little bit of value in laying the 1.5.
Yes.
Where it was always just, it's kind of like the run line in baseball. The value is really taking the 1.5. I always said the same thing in hockey, it's taking the 1.5. But now you might want to lay it. And I got my guys looking at it, and my computer guy, I left a note for him. Tell me how this works out, because it's hard to say like everyone, but I have one guy in particular that's kind of picked his spots and has beat the hell out of me.
When we were watching the hockey playoffs for the last couple years, because they have been taking it out a little earlier, right? It used to be last 2 minutes. Then it was like 4 minutes, and we're like, it doesn't matter, especially in elimination games.
Right.
Like we were watching on primetime, we're watching an Islanders game last, the game they got eliminated in, I believe it was. It's like, pull the goalie, dude. Like I don't understand the conservative nature of that. It's exactly what we're talking about in football, right? And now they're finally getting it.
I think hockey, you know, baseball has a lot of traditionalists, you know, so hockey really has a lot of traditionalists.
We've done it this way forever.
Yeah, it's too embarrassing to lose by more than 2. Well, you know, not really. if you're going to lose, you're going to lose.
Like I said, the Steelers, it doesn't matter if you lose by 1,000, and you lost by 1,000.
Yeah, anyway. Right, they lost by 1,000 anyway. You know, but I'm seeing it in hockey quite a bit, you know, so like I think it's good for the over, and it's good for laying the 1.5.
So talk to Andy McNeil about that. 4 games to go, 2 afternoon, 2 primetime. What we like best, we'll do it. Coming up on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Oh, and I have a television recommendation that may change the way you feel about this football team. Coming up.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Todd Bubba Horwitz. The Washington Raiders Super Bowl was my biggest loss, he said. I was at the Sombrero and was interviewed predicting a Skins victory. I still have nightmares. Tell me about it. Mr. B, thanks for the shout-out on your show. I'm a tortured Chargers and Rams fan. Ryan Thompson, you referenced this cocoon, Gil. What does this entail? Do you own a sensory deprivation chamber or what? How did
you get one of those?
How did you know, Ryan? TC, I was a huge Washington fan. They had played each other that season. Oh, I remember it well. And the Skins made a miracle comeback, won it 37-35, but the Raiders outplayed them. I was at RFK Stadium. Boy, do I know that game. One of the great Joe Washington games ever. When Jack Swirek made that pick six before halftime, this is TC talking, I spent halftime curled up in the fetal position, 38-9 Raiders. Washington 14-2 regular season, both L's by 1 point. Yep, that's another detail. They had won 36 of 42, extending back a couple seasons. They were Super Bowl champions, and they were extending into the playoffs 16-2, their two losses by 1 point each. I will even tell you the games. 31-30 opening night to the Cowboys, the game where Darryl Green chased down Tony Dorsett, and 48-47 Halloween night at Green Bay, Mosley missed a field goal that would have won it 50-48.
I remember that game. That was, I talked about the guy who sued me for mental cruelty.
Yes.
He had a monster bet on Washington that night. And so
Nick Giaquinto had a big night that night for those of a certain age.
I mean, if we were going to win regardless, but I'm thinking I'm rooting for Green Bay the whole game here. You know, I got to root for Mosley, who was an MVP.
And Mosley was MVP in 82, okay. The year before when they won the Super Bowl.
Kicker
MVP. This was someone was saying yesterday, Justin Tucker should get MVP votes. And I said, this ain't 1982 with Mark Mosley. What do you think this is? Yeah. Isn't it amazing how you can remember every detail from your childhood, but like yesterday, I've already forgotten.
Even when Jeff will bring up games from like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, what happened?
Jeff has this period because Jeff is of a certain age where he'll come up with like games in 2007, and I'm like, I can't give you one detail from 2007, but I can name every Georgetown possession from 1984. It's ridiculous.
My wife will get mad. You forgot that, but you know how many yards Franco Harris had against the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl? Yeah.
16 to 6, by the way. Next.
2006 to 2010 is my sweet spot.
That's your sweet spot.
100%. Jaguars at Rams is next.
Oh, there's not much to say here. Jaguars lose to the Falcons. We mentioned that earlier. Trevor Lawrence, 23 of 42 for 228. One touchdown, one pick. Zach Wentz, 5 carries for 39. James Robinson, 17 for 86, but he lost a fumble. 3 catches for 29. The Rams. We haven't had a chance to talk about the Rams. By the way, Jaguars, 2-9. The Rams lose their third straight. They allowed first five Green Bay possessions yesterday. They allowed 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals, so they were behind the 8-ball early. 4th-and-1 at their own 29. This was a point in the game where I thought it might turn for the Rams. It was 4th-and-1 at their own 29, down 7-0, 27 seconds left in the first quarter. They decided to go for it at their own 29. They failed. And the Packers got the ball at the 29-yard line, up 7-0, and you're figuring this game's a blowout from the beginning. Well, Green Bay only ended up getting a field goal, and then on a 3rd-and-8 on the ensuing possession, 79-yard touchdown pass from Stafford to Jefferson. So instead of a potential 14-0 deficit, it was 10-7, and you're like, oh, this is huge for the Rams. Yeah, not so much. Stafford threw his third pick six in as many weeks. That put it out of reach at the end, 36-17. The Rams cut it to 36-25. They had a 3rd-and-1 at the Green Bay 21, down those 11 points with 53 seconds left. And Sean McVay decides to run the football. They don't have any timeouts left. They don't get it, and so the clock still moves. So they have to race the field goal unit out to cut it to 8. But there was only 18 seconds left in the game by that point. That was like a really bad decision by McVay. You can't run there with no timeouts. You can't. And so even though Green Bay probably still would have won, who knows? We'll never know. Stafford ends up 21 of 38 for 302, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. Stafford, they flashed this stat up. Stafford 0-17 versus teams that are 5-plus games above 500. 0-17 career.
Well, that's spent in Detroit.
Yeah. Cup, 7 for 96. Jefferson, 3 for 93 in a touchdown. Beckham, 5 for 81 in a touchdown. The Rams were -2 in turnovers. The Packers out time of possession them, if you will, 39-40 to 20-20. By the way, here's the other stat they threw up. Have you heard this one? This is the first time I heard it yesterday. Aaron Rodgers is now 73-1-1 when leading at the half.
Wow. I did not see that yesterday.
So I'm sure there's lots of games where they're up 14 or 17 or whatever. But Aaron Rodgers, 73-1-1 when leading at the half, the only loss against Arizona in 2018.
Jeez.
In that situation.
Wow.
Anyway, the Rams, by the way, we talk about how the Bills haven't played anybody and the Patriots haven't played anybody, and we'll get to them apparently. But here are the Rams' wins. Opponents, Chicago, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Seattle, the Giants, the Lions, the Texans. The combined record of the teams that the Rams have beaten is 27-49-1.
There's two good wins in there, too, against the Colts and Tampa Bay.
Colts and Tampa Bay early.
Yeah, that's early.
But 27-49-1, I mean, we give the Bills and Patriots guff for not having beaten anybody.
Yeah.
The Rams did win a couple, but the combined records are terrible. They've lost 3 in a row. Anyway, Rams by 10.5.
Wow, you're way light. It's 13. I even see 13.5.
Right, that makes sense. I blew that one.
Yeah, I see a 12.5 out there, but that's far away places, and I'm not sure what they even are. I like the higher number, and again, you know, we got diminishing returns, okay, which I say that. Also, I say be careful of momentum. Well, here you got some negative momentum on both these teams, but I do think it's a case, you know, the Rams are all in this year. Now, they haven't
all
played.
In.
It seems counterproductive the way they've played the last 3 weeks. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't. This is not what I expected.
Odell, Von Miller, they're completely all in.
Yeah, they are all in. And it was fun. Yesterday, that Ram-Packer game was one of the most interesting bet patterns. We see it occasionally. But this was an interesting one. You and I, and somebody retweeted, maybe it was you.
No, I retweeted somebody else.
Yeah, somebody had the analysis of how we went through that game for going into yesterday. Well, we had it dead on, and we were right. But all week the money was on the Rams. I mean, all week the money was on the Rams. I talked to Michael occasionally and Ryan, and who are we going to need, who are they betting, blah blah blah. You know, I said, well, they're all over the Rams. Green Bay is going to be a really big game for us. We need Green Bay. When I would tell them, I'm fine with that. I think we're in good shape. That last hour or so, it was all Green Bay money. I went into that game pretty much dead even.
What do you make of that?
I'm not sure, because sometimes I see line manipulation. I don't think this was that, because you weren't involving any key numbers. Well, instead of playing pick, you were taking 1.5. It's kind of a minor. I don't know why you'd bother manipulating for that. You're going to spend a lot of juice to get up to a number. It's not like you're getting up to a 3.5 or a 7 or something like that. So I'm not sure it was that, but I can tell you the facts of the matter was we got flooded late with Green Bay money. But anyway, I'm getting back to the point. I make the Rams higher. I think this is a game where they could take out their frustrations. Like I said, my number come to 15.5. I think that's too high. But I am going to use 13.5. That's the high water mark, and that's what I'm going to use.
That's a get-right game for them. I blew that one.
I think so.
Next.
49ers at Seahawks.
49ers at Seahawks. Seahawks play tonight again, the 3-7 Seahawks. 15th best record in a 16-team NFC. Niners beat the Vikings by 8. We talked about it. Niners go to 6-5. A 15-play, 85-yard, 8-minute, 20-second drive to almost end the half. That's the Niners' signature these days. That's the first half they almost ended with that 14-14 into the locker room. Debo left the game, non-contact injury, groin injury, third quarter. He appeared to be in good spirits. They missed a Robbie Gould 42-yard field goal with 2 minutes left. Opened the door for the Vikings. Vikings couldn't walk through it. Garoppolo, 17-26 for 230, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sacked twice. Elijah Mitchell, 27 for 133, a touchdown, 5 catches for 35. His fourth game over 100 yards rushing. That's a San Francisco rookie record. Debo, 6 for 66 on the ground, 2 touchdowns, just 1 catch for 12. First wideout with 5-plus rushing touchdowns in a season in the Super Bowl era. Ayuk, 3 for 91, but the real story, 208 rushing yards, 156, 171, 208 last 3 weeks rushing for the Niners. 37-07, 22-53 time of possession advantage. I'll say Niners by 4 as we go out the door. What do you think?
My numbers come to 3.5. It's 2.5, pretty much. I see 1-3 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3.
Open 3.
I'm going to open 3.
Let's see how the Seahawks do tonight.
Yeah. I don't like the Seahawks tonight. I think this team has gone south, way south.
I do not either. We'll come back. Primetime games. Numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines. Gil Alexander. Chrissy Andrews. You had anything else to say about San Francisco and Seattle before we move on?
Just, that's your two homes, Las Vegas and San Francisco. I love San Francisco. Spent a lot of time there, walking up and down the Lion Street steps.
Yes.
And, the marina and all sorts of things. Yeah, a lot of good memories there.
The Lion Street steps.
Yeah.
Man, when I was in shape, what I would do with those steps.
I would try to do that. Yes. I probably wasn't as good a shape as you.
Oh, man, it was so great.
I loved walking up and down there and that area of San Francisco.
Before we move on to the two primetime games, real quick, because I teased this. This is supposed to be the analytics show, right? Everything I do, tennis and beyond, has a basis in numbers. But let me just say this, because I said this on Primetime Action the other night, and I want to reiterate it here on a numbers game. Please watch the in-season Hard Knocks on the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, really?
There's only been 2 episodes so far.
Okay.
Third episode coming this week. You watch those 2 episodes, you will have such a respect for this organization and for this football team in a way that makes you think vastly more higher of them than just looking at the standings and their 6-6 record would make you think. To the point, where in addition to my Tennessee Titans futures bet, just because they're set up nicely, hopefully getting their guys back, that the Colts may, it may induce a long shot futures bet for me.
Yeah, you probably won't get a good bet price at the South Point because we had some big action from one guy. I think I told you that earlier, on the Colts. So, I mean, we don't, you know, I don't even think we lose on them, but we don't do that well on them. We have quite a bit of money on the Colts.
Okay.
But can I tell you one thing?
Yes.
You know what I did become kind of a Colts fan when they had Andrew Luck.
I know you
did. And they did not handle that franchise well when Andrew was there. And I've said it before, if he'd have spent his entire career healthy, I think he's in the conversation, maybe not with Brady, but within Marino and Montana.
It's a team that has such smart individual players.
Now. And
hang out with each other, which is a rarity. And if you've been around football long enough or watched football long enough, those teams that tend to do that tend to do really well long term.
I still have a little bit of, they got a little piece of my heart because of the years they have with Andrew Luck. I have the only non-Steelers jersey I have in the NFL is I have an Andrew Luck Colts jersey.
Sunday night, Jeffrey.
Kansas City hosting Denver.
All right, Denver beating the Chargers. We already talked about that. Denver wins this game against Kansas City. They could tie for the AFC West lead. In fact, there's a scenario this coming Sunday where all four teams could be tied for the AFC West lead. And last place, by the way, same story. But you get my drift. After their first two Chargers 3-and-outs yesterday, the game was 14-0. That's all you need to know. Bridgewater, 11 of 18. 11 forward completed pass for Teddy Bear. 129. That's all he threw for. One touchdown, one pick. Didn't take a sack. Two carries for 10 yards and a touchdown. Drew Lock came in, was 4 of 7 for 26, by the way. They were 8 of 11 on third down, the Broncos were. Chargers couldn't get them off the field. They were outgained 357 to 302 in victory. But remember, Patrick Surtain, two picks, including one 70 yards back to the house that made it 28-7 halfway through the fourth quarter. KC barred the door. KC coming off a bye. KC minus 7.5.
I like your number better. Here we go. It's pretty much 10. Now, of course, Andy Reid has a great record coming off of byes.
Yes, he does.
You know, I've been in love with Teddy Bridgewater since he was at Louisville. He had that devastating injury. I think he was another guy. We were robbed out of what could have been a great career. He's still a good quarterback. Remember, his QBR yesterday, I was looking, I think it was like 85-something, 84.4. So he played really well. He's been a little inconsistent with the injury. I'm still not convinced on this Kansas City Chiefs team. I don't particularly like them at home. I hear what a hard place it is to play. They don't cover that much at home. They really don't. I give them a very small home field advantage. Where am I at here? I give them 1 point home field advantage. That's it. And Denver, there's not that much difference anymore between road and home with them. So it is 10. I'm an open 10 just because, you know, we do everything with 11 to 10. I do see some 9.5, but I see 10 with juice on the favorite as well. So I'm an open 10 right now just to be on the conservative side. But if I see it trending lower, I'm definitely going lower. And put me with a slash mark next to Denver. I'm going to take the points with Denver. That's one of the sides I like.
Okay. And then Monday night.
All right. Game of the week. New England at Buffalo.
New England at Buffalo Monday night. The 8-4 Patriots, the 7-4 Bills, winner, will lead the AFC East. New England has won 6 straight. They've won them by a combined score of 211-63. I hate to be a wet blanket here.
But you're going to be.
But they were also +4 in turnovers yesterday against a team without their 3 best offensive players, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. Let's not get crazy. Jones, 23 of 32 for 310, 2 touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice. He's the third rookie in the last 15 seasons to win 6 straight starts. You know who the other two were? I'll tell you.
Ben Roethlisberger?
No. Dak Prescott and the greatest rookie there ever was, Robert Griffin III. The year was 2012. Let's remember it. Sorry, I got carried away there for
another career that got...
injury.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers, 5 for 98 yesterday. Kendrick Bourne, 5 for 61 and 2 touchdowns. But again, +4 in turnovers against a team without their 3 best offensive players. They gave up 270 rushing yards to the Titans. The Titans didn't have Derrick Henry. 270 rushing yards they gave up to the Titans. Here's who the Patriots have beaten. Jets, Texans, Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, diminished Titans. combined record of teams the Patriots have beaten, 38-53. And then there's Buffalo. Buffalo coming off Thanksgiving. Josh Allen was 23 of 28 for 260, four touchdowns, two picks, was sacked twice against the Saints. Here are the teams that the Bills have beaten in their seven victories. Miami, Washington, Houston, Kansas City, Miami, the Jets, and the Saints. Combined record, 31-47. This is the show me something bowl.
I agree with you.
Because the team that loses this still will have not done anything. I will say Bills by four at home.
Whoa.
I don't think highly of the Patriots.
I know you don't. But doesn't sound like you think that highly of the Bills either.
Why? Is four way high?
Yeah.
What is it?
Three. I see some juice, a little juice on one with juice on the dog.
You scared me for a
more
second.
More with I mean, what do you think it would be?
Sorry, I was wondering.
My numbers only come to 1.5. Now, like I said, I don't give nearly as much as for home field advantage as everybody else does. And I think I'm right. Of course I think I'm right. Everybody thinks they're right. But my numbers come to 1.5. I'm going to open three because, like I said, I see three with juice on the favorite, one spot with juice on the dog. So I'm going to open three because, I mean, I don't want to mess around with a Monday night game with a, you know, in and around the three if I don't have to. I'd rather not do that. But I think three is probably a good betting number. But I got to tell you, I mean, not that I would run to bet New England, I wouldn't. But I think three is just a shade too high. I think three is would be a take, if anything.
All right. I like, so in review, I like Minnesota. I like Indianapolis. I think I'm going to like San Francisco, but let's wait till tonight plays out.
I would kind of say the same thing.
Yeah. And then I think I like Buffalo, but that's definitely second tier.
Well, I like Denver taking the 10. I think they keep it close. I like the Eagles. I think they just blast the Jets. I think the Jets are just going to have I don't know if the Jets can put 10 points on the board against this defense. And, you know, I like the Bengals against a Charger team that I think is just...
I almost said that, too.
You know, the Bengals right now, I think they're you know, I mean, at one game in a row, they played well. But I think maybe they're feeling it, and the Chargers are feeling the exact opposite. But like I always... be careful betting on or against momentum in this league. You know, be careful.
Parlay, what do you like?
New England's winning outright.
Ah!
New England's winning outright on Monday. Okay. And I'm with Chris. I think 10's too much. I'll take the 10 with Denver.
I certainly wouldn't take the Chiefs.
What are your games go? I got to mark them down.
Indianapolis, Minnesota, I think San Francisco.
Okay.
And I think the Bills. And Cincinnati kind of too. Which scares me because there's not a dog among them.
True.
Yeah. I like Washington tonight though. Don't love them next week, but I love Washington tonight.
I like them tonight, too. I think another sinking ship, Seattle.
Let's go, Washington. Playoff destiny in their own hands. If Washington wins tonight, they're the number 7 seed in the NFC.
Dear Lord.
I love it. Thank you, Chris, as always. Thank you. Guessing Lines with us. Lombardi Line next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.